We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. A special quick hitter for you. We got a one-game slate this week. It is the Super Bowl week. Andrew and I figured that we would jump on, talk about the game, talk about some Super Bowl props also. You know, a fun weekend to look at the 400,000 props that the books offer, and if you want to bet how long the national anthem's going to go, this is your week. So. Andrew, it's last week. We made it through the whole season. There was talk at the beginning of the year. We didn't know if we would. So, that's a really good thing. Most of all, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the podcast all year long. We do greatly appreciate it. We get a lot of nice comments, a lot of nice stuff on Twitter. I've had a lot of good feedback this year. So we do really appreciate that. We know it's been a strange year, so we really appreciate you kind of jumping on board for the ride here. We really like doing it. I like doing it with Andrew. I don't know if he feels the same, but it's been a really fun time. So, Andrew, how are you this weekend?
I'm good. I felt bad because I started this conversation before we started recording. Like, boy, I'm actually kind of happy football's almost over. And now you say all these nice things about me. But
I'll think about that comment for probably 6 or 10 weeks.
Oh, weeks. I thought months until we just ramp back up again in August.
I figure weeks, and then I get like a quick respite where I feel good, and then we'll get back up again.
we're very appreciative of everybody who's been listening or watching on YouTube. Towards the end of the season, it's nice to be able to try to help people either beat their friends or beat 800,000 people that they don't know trying to win some money. So we one game left though, Scott, and it should be a good one.
Yeah, it's funny because we do this pretty early Friday morning West Coast time where I am, and like every Thursday night I'm like, I can't believe I have to get up, and like 5 minutes of the podcast I'm super fired up and like have one. So it's one of those things. It's always a good time. Makes my Friday good. Hopefully everybody else agrees a little bit. So we got obviously one game. We got the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Really fantastic matchup. I'm not quite as excited as the Super Bowl as I was last year, obviously, with the 49ers in it. But, if you're going to take two teams that I'm not a fan of, this is a really good one and kind of gives me someone to root against, too, which is kind of fun. But real quick before we kind of start into players, you're the guy that writes all the really good Showdown articles for RotoWire. Give everybody just a quick rundown of how Showdown works, how many roster spots, how that works, et cetera. Just because there's a lot of people that, play regular season and maybe don't play the Monday night or Thursday night game. So give us a real quick rundown, just real quick, on how many roster spots, how it works, the MVP spot, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so FanDuel and DraftKings, and actually Yahoo just introduced their first single game showdown, or I don't know what they're actually calling it, but Yahoo's in the game now, now that the Super Bowl's out. But DraftKings and FanDuel continue to be the bigger ones. DraftKings usually has the bigger contests every week, but they're both obviously blowing out for the Super Bowl. The biggest difference between DraftKings and FanDuel is how they use their one calls it a captain, one calls it an MVP spot, where basically you pick one player from the game from your roster and they get 1.5 times the points. Yep. The difference is that on DraftKings, you actually have to multiply the salary by 1.5x as well. So that creates significantly different lineup decisions because, you know, when all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes is 1.5 times more expensive than he was, you start having to make some more lineup decisions. The reason why that's nice is that it leads to more lineup diversification because, as we'll get into, duplicating lineups in showdown is something you really want to avoid if you're playing these large field tournaments because splitting, it's very nice to finish, you know, 10th in a huge GPP. The problem is if you have the 10th highest lineup, but it's actually the 1,200th highest score, then, or excuse me, 10th highest score, but 1,200th highest lineup, then it's not quite as fun. So, but it's 6 lineup spots on DraftKings, one of which is the captain that you get. And then you can pick anyone else from the game, including kickers. And on DraftKings, you can even play the defenses. There are no defenses on FanDuel. So the player pool gets a little smaller. If you like duplicating, then FanDuel is where you go because with the no salary multiplier for the MVP spot and no defenses, it's just a condensed player pool with limited roster spots. It just leads to a lot of duplicating lineups. So we'll get into it in a little bit. There are some tournaments on both sites where your goal is more to build a unique lineup than it is to build a what you think is an optimal lineup. And it's a very weird game. It feels further away from like true fantasy football. So those people who don't play DFS regularly or don't ever play showdown, the goals are a little different when it comes to winning these big contests. But basically, it's you know, it's fantasy sports with one game. It's our basic salary cap, and you just kind of work from there and build what you think, build a lineup of how you think the outcome of the game will go, which is a little different than how we play kind of our classic slates that, you know, we obviously, you know, we're going to pick players from games that we think are going to be high scoring. But when you only have one game to choose from, you have to really think about how the game is going to be played out or how you think it's going to play out or how you think nobody thinks is going to play out. And then you play that way. But basically, you have to build your lineup around that. And, you know, basically you get some foundational pieces in your lineup and the rest kind of just build, I don't want to say it builds itself, but it basically builds itself from there.
Yeah. So a couple of things I don't think you said, but on DraftKings at 6 guys, FanDuel's actually one less player Like there's no, that's good. There's no defense and that you don't get the double up of the 1.5 times the salary, but there's 5 positions instead of 6. Also there's no positions. So you can play 2 quarterbacks if you want to, you can play 6 wide receivers if you want to. In this game, you could play 6 wide receivers and it could work. And then the thing you said is key about how the game, I think when you pick your lineup, you have to pick your full lineup on how you think this game plays out. So like, if you think Tampa Bay wins by 2 touchdowns, like you've got to work it out that you like, you want the guys to get ahead with Tampa Bay and then how Kansas City would come back. Like you pretty much set up how you think the game goes. If you're wrong, like you're going to lose, but you have to, hit exactly how the game goes. You're not going to like just pick the 6 best players. I mean, you can't do, they actually did a pretty good job salary wise this week. I thought they might go a little low, but you can't just play the best 6 players. Yeah. I tried to like put in either Mahomes, Kelsey, or Tyreek Hill a captain spot with the other two. And it, like, you have like 4,000 something to work with after that per slot. And there are some really cheap guys, though. And the last thing I want to ask you about before we kind of jump into the actual game is that when you look at DraftKings there, you're like, oh my God, there's guys that are $200. Like, usually the minimum salary is like 3,000 or 4,000 at a position. Do you consider with your 6th spot throwing in someone like Le'Veon Bell, who might play 8 snaps, or someone like a receiver who might play on special teams and maybe get a lucky play here and there? But do you consider the guys at $200 that are likely a zero as an A, to be different, and B, to punt and get your other 5 positions maxed out?
So The answer is the answer you kind of have to give for every DFS slate. It depends on the slate.
Yeah, it does.
There and depends on the player, but there.
But you're willing to take like a full like possible zero.
Yes. So it all depends on what kind of contest you're trying to win. So these the large field tournaments generally you want to just have as wide of a net as possible, because if you end up with somebody who one of these $200 players. There are a few, but like if you get a one random touchdown and like random touchdowns happen and you happen to get the guy who's 200, not only do you get a score that a lot of people don't have, but you obviously get the salary relief to play up to pay up for other spots. So it's definitely a strategy. I remember earlier this year, Deebo Samuel, your boy, came back from injury and was like $600 on a showdown slate. Yep. And it was like, well, if he plays 10 snaps, that's probably enough because, like, you know, if he catches three balls on this for $600, you're going to get your money's worth. And he ended up paying off that, you know, he had a moderate game, but he ended up paying that off. So if you are playing large field tournaments, you absolutely should be looking at the bottom of that salary pool, both because it allows you to pay up elsewhere, but also those are probably people most fantasy players are not looking to get, and that goes more into this trying to get a unique lineup, or at least trying to roster people that not everybody else has.
Yeah, I mean, I said Le'Veon Bell. He's actually 800, not 200, but same kind of thing. And like Anthony Sherman's down there. Yeah. Keyshawn Vaughn is down there at mid-price. Ricky Seals-Jones, who I didn't know was playing anymore. Hey, you could get your boy O.J. Howard in for the first time this year. That'd be fun for you.
Yeah,
he's on IR, but just for like old time's sake.
Right. Just to really solidify the zero.
So let's jump into the actual game. We've got the Chiefs favored by 3 over the Buccaneers, over under of 56. So, I mean, that's a huge number for a Super Bowl. And, you know, that's one of the bigger numbers we've seen all year. And there's been a couple higher than that, but that's a really big number. These two teams played in week 12. The Chiefs won 27-24. I think only 11th time in the Super Bowl history that the teams have played that year and then play again in the Super Bowl. That 27-24 is very misleading in my opinion. I watched that game. I had Kansas City minus the points in that game, so I kind of remember it for a bad reason. But Kansas City was up 17-0 after Tyreek Hill scored every single touchdown in the first quarter. Had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. That is not a misprint. He had over 200 yards in the first quarter. They're up 27-10 after three quarters. And this is one of those games in the second half of the year where the Chiefs, it's weird in football, you don't see very often, but took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. And they did it all the second half of the season. There's a lot of games they were up. They were like 95% or higher to win the game, but just didn't cover because they just kind of like didn't really step on the other team's neck in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs outgained them 543-417. Like that's a little misleading because the Chiefs had a lot more plays. They both averaged over 7.5 yards per play, and the Bucs were actually a little bit higher, is right in the same range. But the Chiefs pretty much did whatever they want against this Tampa D. I mean, they could not stop them. Mahomes was whatever he was, over 400 yards passing. He was at 462, actually. I mean, he was a monster game. Fun game. Like, these two teams can score. Tampa scored over 30 points in 6 straight games, over 24 in 10 straight. My favorite stat that I looked at was Kansas City's had 14 possessions in the postseason. They punted once. They have 11 scores. Like, this offense is rolling right now.
With a hurt Mahomes, supposedly hurt.
Yes, with a Mahomes that had a concussion protocol and the foot injury. I guess before we start, do you have a strong preference on who you think wins this game, how you think this game goes?
So I read Chris Liss's Beating the Book article on the Super Bowl, and he kind of continued a trend of something that he looked into a few years ago, and just that basically if there is a very, very good defense in the game, they usually cover a win. And the Tampa Bay defense has been really good. And so he ended up taking the Bucs plus 3. And the caveat was basically like, the only way this doesn't work is if the Chiefs offense is like generationally great. That's my term, not Chris's. Is tough.
I forget his term as I read the article too, but it was something like that.
It was
the same takeaway.
So that, like, having an offense that's that good, like possibly like one of the best ever, and he looked back and was like the Peyton Manning 80 touchdown year, they went to the Super Bowl and lost to a very good defense, There was another one, another example he had that I don't remember, probably the Brady year with the Giants, that one of the two worst Super Bowls that I've ever seen. The other one was the rematch. So go Jets, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
For those listening, I'm wearing a Jets t-shirt now for this, you know, because that's what I do for Super Bowl stuff. So anyway, so the problem is that this might be the one of the best offenses ever. Like, Patrick Mahomes could be the greatest quarterback ever. Like, not talking about, like, he's obviously playing the current one, apologies to Joe Montana, but like, it's possible, like, as a quarterback, he could be the best ever. And so, like, if that's the case, then maybe this very, very good defense, like, it's a good defense now. They weren't like the best all season. And so I have to side with the Chiefs. Just like, I think Mahomes is that generational player. I mean, he obviously is. And this could be a generational offense. And so give me them.
Yeah. It's funny because you look at Tampa Dean, they're like, they're really good, but they're not like, they're not a defense. You're like the 85 Bears, or even right. the Niners last year, I think, were a better overall defense. Yeah. And everybody laughs at that, but like, they gave 31 points to Chiefs last year, but it was 20-10 with 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like the Niners defense the last 10 minutes was horrendous, but the Niners defense, the first 50 minutes might be the best I've seen a defense play against a Mahomes offense in the 3 years league. Like, it was, they made played that game almost perfectly. They gave that 3rd and 15 and it just kind of unraveled at that point. And Mahomes got rolling. It was done. But you look at this first game and the Bucs are playing better defense than they were then. I think the key to that first game, though, is the Bucs are playing better offense than they were then.
Yeah.
Like, the Bucs are rolling on offense right now. They're a different team than they were in the first half. I didn't think they're going to be great this year. I didn't think their defense was going to be good enough. I clearly was wrong about that. But, like, they're a different team the second half. They've been really good. I think the spread's too low. I think you're going to give me Mahomes -3 against almost anybody. I'm just going to take it because I think you look back at the end of the game, you're like, my God, why would I not take the Chiefs -3 in any football game ever? I mean, they're what? They're 16-2 this year. They won the Super Bowl last year. Like, it just feels like one of those games, like, you can talk yourself into Tampa Bay for a lot of good reasons. They're a very good team. They're a very good defense. They have Tom Brady. They have all these weapons. I just think at the end of the game, if you sit down and you see the final score and you're like, how do I not take the Chiefs -3 against in any football game that they've ever played? And I think that I think the Chiefs will roll early, and I think they won't let them back in the game quite as much. I do think the Bucs will score, but I don't think they can score enough to beat Kansas City right now.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the key, is that the way that the Bucs win is, like, I mean, so this is how we can go and, like, kind of segue into how you build your showdown lineup. So if you think that the Bucs win, do you think they win because they shut down Mahomes or because they're able to put up enough points to keep up with him? And I think
I think
thought
it's like 34-31.
Right. So, like, that's not stopping him. So if you're going in saying the Chiefs defense is not good enough to hold this, like, improving Bucs offense, then now you start loading up on Tampa Bay offensive players because, like, you think that they are able to keep up. But ultimately, like, I think that's always the that's going to be the first thought. Can Tampa Bay keep up with Kansas City, and not can Tampa Bay hold Kansas City and then just, like, eke out enough points?
And they're not like an offense that's going to do the, like, you know, hold the ball for 8 minute drives and run the ball over and over. Like, Brady throws the ball. That's how they score. That's how they play. I mean, they do have two running backs they can use, but, like, I just don't, it's really hard for me to see like a 21-17 game. Like, it had to be something weird going on, but I don't think you hold the Chiefs down that much. I just don't see it.
Do you think the Chiefs?
That's the one, the result that would just purely shock me.
Do you think the Chiefs defense is the worst of the, like, both teams' offensive and defensive units? Like, Kansas City's defense is probably the worst.
Significantly.
Right, like, significantly.
But I mean, and that's not an insult. It's just Tampa Bay's defense is really good and both offenses are awesome.
Right. Do you think the difference between the Chiefs offense and the Bucs defense is greater than the Bucs offense and Chiefs defense?
That's probably pretty hard to answer because they think the Chiefs offense is just so good. But yeah, that's probably pretty close, which is why it's a 3-point spread. I mean, it's in Tampa Bay. I don't really think that matters that much, to be honest. I mean, it's in a stadium where it's not going to be that. It's going to be kind of, what are they going, like 40% full or 30% full? It'll be a lot of Bucs fans, but let's be real. Super Bowl tickets are going to corporate people. And, you know,
yeah, they're not right.
A lot of, there's going to be some fans who find their way into tickets, but I don't think you're going to have a raucous home field advantage by any means. But yeah, I mean, when you play it that way, yeah, it's probably pretty close. And that's why the spread is 3 and Tom Brady's on the other team. And I don't know. I just don't want to, I don't want to take Kansas City minus three against anybody in the NFL is what it comes down to me.
Yeah, I think that'll be popular. Like, I think, like, building lineups.
I thought it would be popular too, but the line hasn't moved. I kind of thought it would move. I thought at least it'd get to 3.5 and a couple spots it has, but I don't know. I think there's enough attention on Brady and the Bucs defense and people talking themselves to it. I was a little surprised when the number came out it was that low, and then I'm a little surprised it hasn't moved a little bit.
The first big bet I saw was obviously a week and a half ago at this point, was $2.3 million on the Bucs plus three.
There you go. That keeps the spread down.
It down a little bit, right?
was that you or one of your friends?
Oh yeah, it was a buddy of mine. Yeah.
I figured you're gonna put the house on Tom Brady because it's what you do.
Yeah, that's like 20 of my houses. But
so do you want to start with running backs, even though they're the weakest part of this game? We usually do, but where do you want to start with?
So I think the way that you have to. Like I said, the way you have to build your lineups is first, how many people are you trying to beat? So a lot of the content that everybody does is about winning the Millie Maker, because winning $1 million is a lot more fun than winning $80 from your friends. But there are enough people who play against their friends. Like, I have a home league that goes through the Super Bowl because we play on DraftKings, and DraftKings has contests through the Super Bowl. And this is the first time that some of them are playing Showdown this season because they have no interest in it, but it's a Super Bowl, so we're all going to play. So if I'm building a lineup to beat 10 people, I'm not going to be building that lineup. I'm not going to be using that lineup to also beat, I just had the number here, 653,594 or three other entries. Like, yep. Finishing that highly in the Millie Maker is very tough. Finishing that highly in the Millie Maker with a unique lineup is also very tough. And so you have to get really wacky. It's as simple as that. Like, but you don't have to get that wacky to beat your buddy. So, like, That's the first part. If you're trying to beat 10 people who don't play Showdown a lot, they're all going to captain Mahomes, I think, or have him. Like, there's just no way around it.
But now you're saying, if you're playing the Millie, you're not saying that you captain, I don't know,
Ricky Seals Jones,
Sherman, right? Like, you still have to get all the get all the points to, like, you want to go wacky and, like, be different, but you don't want to not have any of the good players either. Like,
absolutely.
You don't want to leave 22,000 on the table.
Right. Although leaving salary on the table is the easiest way to differentiate, because
I tried to make a huge number, so it was extreme.
Yes.
Yes, leaving some salary on the table, because everybody's going to try and get exactly close to 50,000 as they can. Not everybody, but a lot of people will try and max out every penny they can to try and get the best lineup.
Right. And so, like, that's where we have to be different. We need to make sure that we build a lineup that beats everyone, not necessarily scores the most possible points imaginable.
So do you start that with trying to be different, with trying to make a very different MVP captain spot than everybody else?
Yes. And, like, the way you play these is first or last. Like, don't build to min cash. Like, 50 percentile is worthless in a tournament like this. But again, you don't have to go crazy. This is not Anthony Sherman captain situation. But, like,
poor Anthony Sherman is the example for everybody.
But, like, Leonard Fournette,
yeah,
Mike Evans, I wouldn't do Gronk, but, like, Cameron Brate. Like, Brate's probably a little crazier, but, like, those are the certain guys that, like, just getting 1.5 times their points because not many other people are going to do it is where you need to go with those. So, but again, the smaller field stuff, I think it's like people are going to go, like, Mahomes, Brady, depending on how they think the game goes. Kelce and Hill will be really popular at that point. And I think after that, like, you could pretty much captain anyone else and you'll be, like, moderately different.
I was going to say before you said it, I think those top four guys are going to be a gigantic percentage of the captain.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, you're going to get Godwin Evans, you're going to get some Fournette, you're probably going to get someone who wants to play CEH, but, like, those top four guys are going to be all popular in the captain spot. And, like, when you add up their percentage, it's going to be way, it's not going to be 100%, but it's probably going to be somewhere around 75 to 80% and take those four together.
Yeah. And, I mean, the benefit also of the Millie Maker. So DraftKings is $10, which is lower than the one that they usually run because they want more people to play it. The number of, like, dead lineups is huge. So, like, anyone who is moderately intelligently putting a lineup in, who like follows DFS and knows what they're doing, like will be more than half of this field because there's just so many people who make these terrible lineups that like don't correlate at all, maybe negatively correlate, and you just, we don't have to worry about them. But even if you took half of them out, we still have to beat 325,000 lineups.
For sure.
So again, like think about getting a little weird and, but particularly like how you think this game goes. Like if you think Tampa Bay wins, then that this is where we should be most likely captaining somebody from Tampa Bay. And if everybody is going to think I'm going to go with Brady, then maybe we go Godwin. Or if you're like, oh, Godwin seems like it'll be really popular, then go Evans. Go, I mean, the idea of captaining Leonard Fournette is so crazy to me. But like, weird things happen. Fournette gets hurt. Now all of a sudden, Ronald Jones is the guy. Like, maybe a Ronald Jones captain works. But like last year, Damian Williams was huge and like mostly overlooked because everyone's like, look at the Chiefs passing game. Oh my gosh, yep. Chiefs passing game. And then it's the running back who like should have won MVP.
Should have won MVP. It's funny. When we talk about some props, I'll talk later. I don't know if Kansas City can win without Mahomes being MVP. After you saw last year, if they weren't going to give it to Williams then, like, I don't know when they give it to him. But both the teams are interesting at the running back position because they both, you know, they're both kind of splitting carries right now. We don't have a stud running back. Like last year, we had Raheem Mostert who was, you know, splitting carries, but kind of the guy, and Damian Williams who was mostly the guy last year. But between Fournette and Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams, like we've got a lot of splitting carries. The pricing on the Tampa Bay guys is wild. Fournette's 7,800. Ronald Jones is 2,200. Like, I think as people get into this lineup, I think everybody's going to scroll down and see Ronald Jones, and they know who that is, and they see him at 2,200. I think he's going to be pretty popular just because that price is so extreme.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at a lot of projections or just, like, player props, their rushing totals are fairly close, but the receiving is, like, the total yards. Like, obviously, the expectation is that Fournette's going to get a lot of the work.
But if you think Tampa wins, I think Jones is your play because they get to run the ball in the third and fourth quarter. If you think they're behind, it's clearly Fournette. I actually like Fournette a lot in that situation because they're going to dump off to him. He had seven targets last week against Green Bay. He was 12-55, but five catch on seven targets. You can get seven targets in a game they're trailing. Like that's massive in a game like this.
Yeah, I think Fournette is an interesting captain play just because it would just be a classic finish to the 2020 season that Leonard Fournette captain would win somebody $1 million. But I think that price.
You could do it with a Kansas City stack on the, like you can kind of correlate that is that you think Tampa Bay's going to be behind and a lot of dump offs. You play one of the receivers, then you play the Mahomes, whatever offense you want for Kansas City. And it kind of works together nicely and allows you to get more guys in because Fournette is what, 6,000 less than Mahomes in the captains in the MVP spot or whatever it is on DraftKings. Is DraftKings captain or MVP? DraftKings is captain, right?
Captain, yeah.
I always confuse those. But and then on the Kansas City side, you got CEH who outsnapped Williams 32-30, but Williams had 14 touches last week in the championship game 2 weeks ago, and CEH only had seven. I think Williams has actually looked good. Like he played pretty well. He was 13-52 against Buffalo. He was 13-78 and four catches against Cleveland. CEH didn't play in that game, but I just think he's looked like the better guy. The key here is that Tampa Bay is almost impossible to run against, which makes it tough because Helaire is probably the guy that catches more balls out of the backfield. But I mean, if they have a lead, they got to run some clock in the fourth quarter. They're going to hand off the ball a little bit, and they have enough of a passing offense that Tampa Bay has to play that, you know, maybe they hit a couple quick hitters with Williams. I think I like Williams more than CEH for the 2,000 cheaper in DraftKings.
I think that's going to be a fairly popular thought.
Probably.
And yeah, like price wise, it is weird that price is so different. Like I kind of understand the Fournette and Jones one, but that one is high enough that I think a lot of people will go to Williams. That being said, like I think it's absolutely in the range of possibilities that Edwards-Helaire gets like everything.
Yeah.
Like Williams gets three touches.
And Tampa's really good against the run, but they do allow a league-high catches out of the backfield to running backs. They allow six catches per game to the running backs. So, I mean, that's the way that, you know, obviously they've been, you know, you can't run against them. You got to figure something else out if you, you know, during the season. If you're trailing, you know, obviously dump off. So I get the game script kind of works into that. But, you know, I think teams realize that that's the way to get them. And running up the middle is, you know, probably not the best way to do it, although it's different when you have a Kansas City weapons on the outside. They have to adjust to that. If you look at the first game, Tampa Bay played 58% of the time in two high safeties. They did 36% of the rest of their games in that. So they definitely changed their defense. A lot of teams did against Kansas City. And Tampa Bay blitzed 42% of the plays this year, 17% in the Kansas City game. So, like, they obviously changed who they are and what they do, because you can't blitz Mahomes. You blitz Mahomes, you're dead. Like, if you don't get there, you're literally dead. Like, he will hit someone for a big play.
Yeah.
And you watch that first game, and they left some big plays out there, too. There was a 90-yard touchdown to Mecole Hardman they did just missed. He was, like, beyond wide open, and they just, he kind of threw it behind him. And I don't know if Mahomes was trying to go back shoulder a little bit, but like Mahomes, if you watch the replay, Hardman was 10 yards past anybody, and it was like an easy pass too. It was just one of those things. So it'll be interesting what Tampa Bay does, how much they go with that game plan or how much they go with their all season game plan, and just kind of figure that, you know, we are who we are. The first time didn't work, so it'll be interesting. But with the quarterbacks, like, I mean, you mentioned that Mahomes will be popular. It's hard to get out of building multiple lines. If you're trying to build one lineup and kind of have some fun, you know, getting some of these big cons, maybe not the Millie, but some other tournaments, are you just playing Mahomes and figuring out the rest of the way? How are you handling that situation?
I think a lot of people will play both, like in smaller field stuff, and like truly small field, like 10 people. we talked about how there are like big question marks in the backfield situations, and being able to take Brady also takes you out of like, do I take Godwin or Evans or Brown or Gronk or Miller or like Brate? Like every passing yard obviously goes through Brady and Mahomes. And so I think there's like this perceived safety that you get everything if you get them. We shouldn't forget that DraftKings is a full point per reception. And so every time Brady completes a pass, the receiver gets more points for it than Brady does.
For sure.
But if he does spread the ball around, like, then generally the quarterback is going to end up being the highest scoring one. And I think there's enough like back and forth between Godwin and Evans that it just, you're, the easy solution is just like, let me just play Brady. And a lot of people just play for the easy solution.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's crazy right now. He's what, multiple TDs in 10 straight games, 300 plus yards in six of those. I know one of those games where he did not throw for 300 yards because you and I both played him that week. Yeah, it was a good time. In the first game, Brady was 27 for 41, 343 and three touchdowns. Did have two picks. Was not great in that game, but, you know, kind of came on late to get them back in the game. But it was a little garbage time. Even the game was close enough where I wouldn't really call it garbage time. But it was clear that Kansas City was playing a little bit of prevent in that fourth quarter. The key with Brady all year has been pressure and no pressure. He's a 70% completion guy with no pressure, 41% and a 5.3 YPA under pressure. So Kansas City, I mean, I think the key to both these teams, if you can get there with four guys, because you don't want to fully blitz and leave guys open. But if you can get there with four guys, which is what the Niners did last year against Mahomes, I mean, Nick Bosa had 12 hurries in that game, which is like I think a Super Bowl record and the highest. It was, he didn't have sacks, but like he made Mahomes go a second later. And on that 3rd and 15, he was held, so that matters too. not still bitter, don't
not
worry.
Not bitter at all.
But in the postseason under pressure, Brady's 6 for 21 for 124 yards and no touchdowns. Like he's in the way to stop Tom Brady is to get pressure, but he gets rid of the ball so quickly that it's hard to get there. But if the Chiefs can get there, if they can really create some pressure up the middle too, they have, you know, strong tackles there. I mean, that's the key for both teams is I think who gets pressure. And we saw it in those undefeated Brady years that the Giants got pressure on him and that's how they beat him. And that offense was unstoppable in New England that year. But the almost undefeated year. Yes. I know you like that. The Chiefs D played pretty well last week. I mean, that was a hot Josh Allen that came in, I say last week, 2 weeks ago. He had a 6 YPA in that game. He was 28 of 48 for 287. Like the Chiefs D is coming on a little bit too. They've been a different defense in the last second half of the year. They've been a lot better, especially against the pass. So I think everybody talks about, you know, the Mahomes, maybe they pull off the gas a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think the Chiefs defense pulled off the gas a little bit in the first half too. I think they are peaking at the right time. I think their defense is coming on a little bit too.
So the on DraftKings, you can obviously play the defenses. And I think in a game that has such a high total with like so many electric offensive players, nobody's playing defenses.
If I had to and I get down there the price, I think the Chiefs are – I think I'd think about playing the Chiefs because I think that Brady makes a couple mistakes in this game. It's a matter if it turns in anything. But, you know, you even saw it in the playoffs. Like, he gets pressure. He just kind of throws it up for grabs. I mean, he had that play down the right sideline that got intercepted. I forget who it was. But, you know, that he just – every once in a while, if he gets a pressure, he will kind of duck away and throw the ball away because he doesn't want to get hit. And that's how you get big plays. And in a game where, you know, a touchdown is massive for Atlanta, if he throws a pick six, like that's a huge play if you have the Chiefs.
Right. Or a special teams return. Like, plenty of props on that.
The Chiefs special teams are way better than the Bucs special teams. That's a little side thing in this thing nobody's looking at. I could see Mecole Hardman hit a big punt for sure. Like you could fully see that. I mean, it's and that's a play that, you know, you could double dip on that one too. You could get, if you play someone like Hardman, you get the Chiefs D and you get Hardman. All of a sudden you score two touchdowns when, you know, on two guys. I think Hardman will be pretty popular, but not massively owned. And if you get two touchdowns from guys that aren't popular like that, there you go. That's a good start.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's you took that thought right out of my head there with the Hardman combination. But, you know, we're talking about differentiating. Ronald Jones, 2,200. Buccaneers defense, 2,800. Obviously, we don't think anybody's playing the Bucs defense against Mahomes. But, like, wacky things happen, you know, like random fumbles, you know, scoop and run. Like, I don't
even know how wacky. They had five sacks against the Packers last week, and Eric Fisher, the left tackle of the Chiefs, is not playing.
Like, yeah, not playing.
Like, the Chiefs have one offensive lineman in the spot they started the season. Like, their offensive line is, granted, it's Mahomes, so maybe it doesn't matter. Like, you don't need to block anybody. He just gets away and throws it 60 yards down the field anyway, which is what, you know, does happen. But I don't know if it's that wacky. Like, I think that them getting pressure on him is very conceivable.
Yeah. I mean, for how much variance.
Nobody's going to play him, though. You're right.
Yeah, for how much variance there is, like, you absolutely need to consider both defenses in this game. And frankly, again, with both teams expected to score a ton of points, and generally fantasy defense special teams get their points from like turnovers and touchdowns. Like it's usually not about points allowed. But if there are tons of points expected in a game and everybody's getting all these offensive weapons, like playing both defenses is a way to differentiate. And so, you know, a tipped pass that gets picked off, like things happen in football all the time, which is why sometimes we see like explosive scores, even in games where they give up 20, 25 points. Like they're absolutely worth considering when you realize that they have upside of offensive players. Like they have touchdown upside, which is not what you get with kickers, who unfortunately we have to talk about too.
Yeah, before we jump into wide receiver, let's talk about the kickers real quick. Butker's 4,000, Succubus 3,800. Usually we like kickers in a showdown in a game that's going to be, 17-13 or 17-12, and you hope that one team kicks four field goals or something like that. This game's tough because you got to think there's going to be a lot of touchdowns, a lot of scores. But, you know, you never know. A team can get stopped in the red zone three times, and all of a sudden, you know, Butker can score 12 points pretty easily. Like, you can have three field goals and four extra points, too. Like, the teams do, you know, score 41 with a bunch of field goals and random points in there. I'm not super fired up on the kickers this week. I think I like the defenses more. I mean, even in a 35-31 game, if one of those defenses scores a touchdown, like that's worth rostering. And it's even if they give up a ton of points, you score one of those touchdowns everywhere. That I think I like both defenses more than both kickers, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider the guys that are in their price ranges, like you said, 4,000, 3,800 on DraftKings, you're looking at Scotty Miller, Brait, your boy Sammy Watkins. Like, if you don't think that they can reach 10 points, like kickers can reach 10 points, you know, fairly easily. Three field goals and an extra point gets you there and like stuff like that. If you were wondering, a Mahomes captain with Brady, both defenses and both kickers leaves 8,800 on the table.
There you go. Not quite the 22,000 that I did, but that's
we're getting there.
You make fun of my boy Scotty Miller, scored the most important touchdown in the game last week.
Do you know what his reception prop is?
Gotta be, oh God, either 1.5 or 2.5.
It's 1.5. And I was like, I looked at that and I'm like, what? That seems low. And then you like look back and the two catches he had last week, including that ridiculous touchdown, was like his most in like 6 or 8 weeks.
If you're going to play Scotty Miller props, you play longest catch over a certain yard, because it tends to be the one shot they take is usually pretty deep.
I like that call.
If I were going to do him, I would do. Real quick on wide receivers before we get to some props. I know you want to talk about that too. Tyreek Hill, like, so he's obviously a story. He had 203 yards in that first game, two touchdowns. How do you think Tampa deals with this? Do you think they're like, oh my God, he killed us that first game, we need to like focus our defense on Tyreek Hill? Or do you think they just play their normal defense? Like, how much of an impact does that first game do you think have on their game plan this week?
I want to believe
it's an impossible question. I get it.
Yeah. I want to believe that they're just going to play like they've been playing. Like,
because the problem is, that's what I would do.
Because when you sell out for Tyreek Hill, then Kelce has 15 catches, you know, none more than 12 yards, but like they'll beat you either way. And so I think, I don't think there's going to be like a huge emphasis on stopping Hill over anybody else. I do think Kelce will be more popular though, because of Hardman, because like,
yeah,
it's a whole season of like, maybe I could get something out of Hardman and I'll be okay. And then Hill has another, you know, like 12 for 140, but I don't know.
I think the Mahomes, Kelce, Hardman is like kind of where you go and you want to be like, oh, I'll get away from Tyreek Hill. I'll just play Kelce and then I'll play a cheaper receiver. It seems like a mindset you can kind of get into easily.
Yeah, I think that explains it perfectly, which obviously makes Hill a little, I mean, Hill's still going to be popular. Let's not like pretend going to get Hill at like 8%. But like, I think generally Kelce will be much higher.
11 plus targets per game for Hill since week 9, 6.8 prior to that. They changed how they, we talked about it many times, but they changed how they do. Tampa Bay's bad against deep balls. They're a really good defense, but they're 27th in the league in completion percentage to passes over 15 yards. It's their one weakness. I promise you Andy Reid knows that. Sammy Watkins, you mentioned my boy. We've talked about him and joked around him. So Sammy Watkins has played 5 playoff games with Kansas City, where he's actually like been on the field and upright, like actually playing football. He's never been under 60 yards. Huh. And he's been over 95 yards in 3 of those 5 games. Ugh. We talk about playoff Lenny. We might be seeing playoff Sammy. embroider your hats now. 4,200. He seems like he's going to play. He's finally healthy. Granted, Sammy Watkins might play 3 snaps and be done. If Sammy Watkins is healthy, I'm going to read up a little bit more. I think he is. I think he hit 4,200. I think he's going to be less popular than Hardman. I think I like him more for that reason.
I think you explained it well there.
I can't believe I might go back to Sammy Watkins. Good Lord. We might have to have another podcast afterwards. You can make fun of me for playing Sammy
Watkins. Just to apologize to everybody.
When he pulls his hamstring, play 3.
I mean, I was somebody who was playing him, like trying to play him in cash games earlier this season when he was like 4,300. So I can't like hate on Sammy Watkins, but I think you're right that like, if you can, I think more people will see Hardman who, you know, like, actually has been playing, and they'll be like, no, I want that guy because he's cheaper. But I get Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, the key with Hardman, they gave him a rush in each year. He had 40 or 50 yard rush in the championship game, and he's got 116 total yards. So he's clear. Watkins is a little cheaper. It's 4,200, 5,600, but close enough where it's close enough where I think that Hardman just, you know, it doubled his PPR in 3 of the last 5 games. I think people will go there. Byron Pringle, 1,800.
He's one of those guys. Like, I get it.
And he plays a little bit too.
Like, yeah, he does.
He's on the field a little bit, which is, I think, that you know, more that you're getting with a lot of the guys super down there. And you know, we joke about Watkins, but if you know, Pringle played 52 snaps in the game against Buffalo. Like, that's a massive number for a guy in this offense who's under 2,000. Just takes one blown coverage, and you know, Byron Pringle might win you some money.
Yeah, no, I think he absolutely makes sense. Did we? I guess DeMarcus Robinson has been cleared to practice. Oh my God.
the whole Barber thing was so insane. It was crazy.
Do you think you'd play Robinson?
I would play Pringle first.
Oh, okay. Just like, do you think if you hadn't played,
just because I hate DeMarcus Robinson.
That's what I mean. Like, if you hadn't had like 17 drop touchdowns this year from DeMarcus Robinson, would you play him over Pringle?
Robinson is, I'm looking at Robinson here. He's how much compared
to him? 400 less than Pringle.
He's 400 less. I play Pringle.
Do you think they're just both dead because Watkins is back?
I think Watkins hurts them both, but I think that Kansas City's going to run plays where they have 4 wide receivers out there. Like, it's, the problem is that the passing tree in Kansas City has become very, very, very narrow. I mean, the last like second half of the season, they throw to Kelce and Hill, and everybody else is a third or fourth or fifth thought. But yeah, I mean, this is an explosive offense. Should score a lot of points. All those guys can hit a big play. And it's just a matter of, you know, if they roll coverage to Hill and the safety comes up on Kelce and someone runs deep, like it could be any of those guys, just depends on the play. But, I'd probably go Watkins over Hardman and Pringle over Robinson. If you're making me make a decision.
I think the way that I'm looking at least Pringle and Robinson and Watkins is much less, much more expensive. So I don't want to like necessarily put him in the group, but like, it doesn't matter which one you pick. Like, I know that sounds like really weird, but there are like decisions here that we're talking about, like a single game that you could look at a billion stats and you're like, this is why I'm taking DeMarcus Robinson over Byron Pringle. Like, it doesn't matter.
I agree. There's no stats you're going to look at that's going to be a difference. I think I just don't like DeMarcus Robinson.
Right.
I think he'll drop the ball if it comes to him. So there you go. There's my call. And Pringle was super involved 2 weeks ago. Robinson's been on COVID. Who knows what he's been doing? He's probably been hanging out. But you're right. I'm not going to like come up with a fantastic case why you should pick Byron Pringle over DeMarcus Robinson. It's just that's a gut feel, and that's your saving salary. You're getting a piece of a really good offense, and you're hoping for one big play, to be honest.
And that's going to be like the thought with a lot of guys on this slate when you start going down. Like,
sure.
Is it worth me trying to get something out of like Tyler Johnson? And it's like, do I play Johnson over DeMar? It doesn't matter. Like, just it really does. Like, flip a coin, because the process of getting to one of those guys is they're cheap and anything can happen. And that's equal for all of them.
Yes. The amount of energy you spend trying to find a stat between those three is just a waste of your time.
Exactly.
Wait, I hate to say that, but plain and simple, like, you're not going to – with down there, you're not going to come up with something that's be like, oh, that's why I should play this guy.
Exactly.
Because Tyler Johnson's going to work if Antonio Brown tweaks his knee again, then comes back. Like, it's going to be something like that, that or he hits a big play on, you know, third and one, and they play action, and it's Tyler Johnson. It's just one of those things that you can't plan for.
I mean, it could be as simple as, like, a short pass to Mike Evans. He fumbles, and Johnson picks it up and runs it picks it up in the end zone. Like, weird things happen, and at that point, like – in this salary range, the actual decision-making process does not matter. As weird
you
as that
want,
sounds.
You want guys that are going to be on the field enough to have one of those freaks things happen, and I think that's the extent of how you look at it.
Being on the field is definitely better than not being on the field.
We don't need to talk very much about Travis Kelce. Just done everything forever. If Tampa Bay goes two high safeties, he leads the NFL in catches, yards, and touchdowns against two high safety defenses, so that does matter. But he's going to be great. He's huge. He's had an insane run. I want to talk about real quick about the Tampa tight ends. Gronk is 3,000. Brate is 4,800. Gronk has two or fewer catches in five straight games. Do you get any kind of vibe at all that maybe they try and get Gronk involved in this game?
No.
None. All right.
I mean,
16 end zone targets, so he's live just for that reason that they may get in the red zone and throw to him. That's the play you want with Gronk, is either a short touchdown or kind of one big play where they draw something up for and it works. But Brady has 11 catches in the playoffs. He's been way more active.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, I think, if you're playing Gronk for the one touchdown, like that's the two catches for 17 yards, like doesn't do enough for you. What I thought was interesting, and not to like immediately segue into the player props, Gronk's receiving prop is higher than Mecole Hardman's.
Wow. Receiving yards or catches?
Yards. Same
really?
Catches.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I go Hardman all day for yards.
Like you would, right?
Yeah. And so, I don't think Gronk at 3,000 is a bad showdown play, because I think you might get a touchdown, and they probably will run one deep ball to him at some point down the seam or something. It may not work, but they'll probably run that once. But he was 6 for 106 in the first game against Kansas City, if you want some sort of narrative there. But let's jump in a few player props. I know you got to jump out of here. We've gone a little bit long on talking about one game, but there are 9,000 player props on everything you want. You could bet the color of Gatorade. You could bet the national anthem over under. You could bet if someone's going to miss a word in the national anthem. But for me, and kind of what you and I do with DFS, I really look at player props more than anything. The only non-player prop I wanted to mention real quick was there's one on Bovada. How many times will the Patriots be mentioned? And the number is 2. That has to go over, right? There's no way you play a whole game with Tom Brady where Jim Nance doesn't say Patriots twice.
I mean,
or Tony Romo, like both of them are going to say.
I mean, they could say New England.
They could say New England, but you know they're going to be like, if they get down, here's highlights of the Patriots comeback against the Falcons. If they're up, here's the highlights of the Patriots loss against the Jets. Like, there's no way they don't say it twice, right?
I mean,
unless they're thinking about it,
Pats,
is the only way they don't say it.
New England. I don't know. That's
unless Romo and Nance are actually thinking about not wanting to talk about New England.
Right.
There's no way they'll mention Patriots twice.
Right. I'd be happy for them not to mention them at all.
You're taking the under just out of spite.
Right. Right.
So what about, are there any player props that really jumped out to you that you really liked this week? Just real quick, just for some people that might be having some fun this weekend.
So before that, I just wanted to point out, like, we have a page on RotoWire that shows like all the player props from a few different books. And I know that like most people tend not to like shop around, because it's kind of a bit of a pain. This page makes it a little easier. There are plenty on the internet that do this. But there are a number of states now that have legalized on mobile sports betting or even in person still. So if you're fairly new, my suggestion is to sign up everywhere, because everywhere they all have sign up bonuses, and like, don't like sign up for one and be like, this is where I'm going to do all of my bets. Because when you look at the different player props, they're different at different sites. And so if you're like, well, do I want to take Chris Godwin over 77.5 yards? And you're like, yeah, I do. Well, he's only 73.5. That one was at DraftKings. He's only 73.5 at FanDuel. And it's like, well, take the lower number if you're betting the over, because it's easier to hit that one. So,
and you also want to look at how the lines have moved too. It's like some sites, like I looked at Leonard Fournette over 3 catches. I love that. And he was -225. I was like, yes. Everybody's, so obviously everybody loves that too. I'm not breaking any news there, but I often shop around at, like, for the different chalkiness levels, different lines, because there'll be some sites that, you know, someone may have hammered that bet and they'll move it up, and some sites maybe it'll be -180, and you definitely want to get your money in at the lowest total if you're going over, and obviously the other way if you're going under, but also the best lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Like another example I saw was Tyreek Hill is 6.5 receptions at FanDuel and BetMGM, but it's 7.5 at DraftKings, and like, that's a difference. Like, it's a meaningful difference.
That pretty much locks in 7 catches for sure, because you know that's the way it always works.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Is there anything like you really jump out to you that you want to take, you want to look at that you really like?
So the one that got me, which I just mentioned, this whole like Hardman and Gronk, they're both at 2.5 receptions. Hardman's receiving prop is 28.5. Gronk's is 29.5. So I kind of liked this Hardman. It's only +100 to have more receiving yards at Gronk. But like, taking the Gronk side is -124.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of Gronk love out there. And like, Hardman can beat that in one play.
And Gronk hasn't done a thing for like a month and a half. Like, it's just, you're right. And Hardman hits one play.
The Gronk
play.
Side just feels a little more narrative than actuality.
Yeah, I agree there. The one that jumped out to me that I really like, and there's 9,000 of them, you can look at them, everybody knows what they're doing. Like, everybody knows, like, most of these lines are set at a pretty good number, if you like someone, you know, if you like Godwin, I do like Godwin. He's, you know, I think he goes over yards, but like, the lines are about right.
Yes.
The one I really like with Godwin, I like Godwin longest catch over 23.5 yards. He's -115 there, so it's about even there. Godwin has a 40-plus yard catch in 4 of the last 8 games and a long of 27 yards or more in 4 of the last 5. Like, he almost always hits that one big play. It's like he comes out of the slot, but they usually try him on a couple deep balls. I think Godwin he's going to make one big play in this game at some point, and I like the fact that he can take shots. I think Kansas City is going to be ahead, so I like that even more. As I was looking through player props, that was probably my favorite one. Like, he just takes one play, and I think he gets there.
Well, if you like him at over 77.5 on DraftKings, you'll love him at over 73.5 on FanDuel.
There you go. Good example right there. I mean, and then you keep looking. I kind of like Darrell Williams +20 rush yards against Leonard Fournette, just because I think Fournette's action will come out of the backfield. And I think that I think Kansas City's going to win. So I think that Williams, you know, even against a tough rush team, will get some carries in the fourth quarter. And I just don't think Fournette will get a lot of actual carries. I think he's getting a lot of action in the pass game. But I like that one. But Godwin longest catch is probably my favorite one. I like Godwin over yards. I like Fournette over the catches too. Are there any MVP picks you like? It's hard because we saw it last year. Like, Damian Williams probably should have won, but Mahomes won because he's the quarterback and he's awesome and he made a couple of huge plays, obviously. But I kind of like Kelce at +1,000 MVP, but it's just hard for Kelce to get there and Mahomes to not. Like, he'd have to have 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Mahomes throws for like 280 or something like that.
Yeah. So if you're sold on the whoever wins the Super Bowl quarterback will be the MVP, like, take the MVP bet instead of the money line. Like, the MVP bet, Brady's MVP odds are +190, and the Bucks money line is like +150?
Yeah, it sounds about
140?
Right. 140? Yeah, 140 probably.
So, like, yes, there's a path that, like, the Bucks win. I take that back. There's no way the Bucks win and Brady doesn't win MVP. The guy could throw two passes. Yeah. And he's going to win MVP. Like, let's forget that.
Fournette has to score like 3 touchdowns, and Brady has to score like throw for 180 yards or something. It had to be something. It had to be a weird, weird game for Brady not to win the MVP for them to win.
Right. But so like, Kelce's the one that like jumped out at me, just like the possibility that anybody but Mahomes can. I hate to say this. I think they really don't want Tyreek Hill to win it. Like, there's a reason not to make Tyreek Hill.
Let's not go too far down that path.
I'm not going to.
I think you're right. I think that they probably I don't think anybody wants to do that post-game interview, really.
Right. And so I think Mahomes wins in that chase. Kelce, I think, is a little different. Kelce's plus 1,300 at DraftKings. I think the, like, playing off the Clyde Edwards or the Damian Williams should have won it. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at plus 2,800. If he gets all of the work, then, like, that seems still like a very stupid bet you can make.
Probably still doesn't win it anyway, but yeah.
Good point.
Damian Williams didn't win it last year. Like, I don't know how you get there. Mahomes was good, but not Mahomes in that game. And yeah. Williams went, had two touchdowns and a bunch of yards. Like, if he wasn't going to get there, I don't know how anybody does.
Yeah, it outrageous he didn't win it. But yeah, I just, like, MVP just doesn't tend to go to guys who, like, have good games. It's the you have to have just an absolutely phenomenal game and both quarterbacks to be terrible in order for you to not win MVP. And so
somewhere Deion Branch is waving at you.
Yeah.
It's like the only one I could really think of. Like, it happens.
Didn't Desmond Howard win it?
Desmond Howard won. He had a return touchdown.
A return touchdown. Yeah.
Yards. Yeah. So, I mean, there's been a lot of weird guys that have won it. There's been, like, Malcolm Smith won it. Didn't Malcolm Smith win it for the Seahawks that year that they beat Denver? And, famously Larry Brown against Neil O'Donnell threw him the ball twice in stride. Yeah, but it's going to be in a game like this, a lot of points. It's going to be hard to get it. It's going to have to be like Kelce would have to be like 11 for 185 and two touchdowns or something like that. And Mahomes has to not have five touchdowns or something like
that.
Yeah,
just, exactly. Exactly.
It's hard to get away from it. MVP is fun because I like to do props that, like, you can root for the whole game too. Like, you know, first carry over 3 yards on someone, like, it's like, oh, 4 minutes in the game, that bet's over. Like, I kind of like bets that if I'm doing this to have fun. I like ones that, there's a lot of bets that expire in the first quarter or the first catch or the first play or the first touchdown. I mostly like ones that I can root for the whole game.
Heads or tails?
Always tails.
Wow. I was going to say just the opposite.
Always tails.
Who picks tails?
Everybody. It's always tails. The reason you pick tails is because everybody picks heads. You want to know the answer to that question? If it's not minus 110 or minus 115 on each side, take the other side. Whoever the underdog is.
Right, yeah. Just take the underdog.
Do they even show the coin toss anymore? Is it heads, tails? Now it's like Chiefs and whatever. Like, it's not as fun as it used to be.
Right. It's not like a quarter out of the guy's pocket.
And the tough part on props is usually we get some good inside info on how the national anthem rehearsals have gone. So you kind of get a feel for how long it's going to go. And that's like you one of those bets. Like, if you know the right person, that's one of those things. Like, it's easy to bet. But I don't think there's going to be anybody at rehearsal. I don't even think they're going to do rehearsal this year. Like, it's just one of those things that's a lot harder than it used to be. Usually, is like figuring it out, and that line moves a bunch on based on how the day before goes. But it might be different this year.
I did see a Gatorade highlight earlier of Andy Reid getting smothered in orange Gatorade, but orange at plus 125 is a favorite right now. So,
like, someone has to know that, right? Like, that's one of those things. Like, someone in the Kansas City locker room knows what they're putting in that thing behind. So, just you got to know the right person.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to mention? This game should be a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. It'd be nice to just be able to sit down and watch the game. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I think it's funny. My best prop bet is not a prop bet. My best bet on this is Kansas City minus 3.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Anything but Brady.
10 Super Bowls. It's insane. 10.
Like, the worst part is that, like, 9 is insane, but yes. Now we get to 10 and we're just like, whoa.
And it makes no sense that one more makes a difference. So you just say 10. Like, I didn't think that was ever remotely even in the realm of possibility. The guy goes to 10 Super Bowls. It's
yeah, he can set the record if he loses another, though.
Oh, the first guy to lose 4? 3.
He's already lost. He'll tie.
They're 6-3, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim Kelly lost 4.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be Jim Kelly because they'd lost.
Actually, didn't they lose 3? Didn't Reich play 1?
No, I think Reich played the playoff game. I think Kelly was back in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think
whatever it is. I'd love Brady to lose a 4th.
They lost 2 to the Giants, 1 to the Eagles. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the crazy thing is that Tom Brady's won as many NFC Championship games as both Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. I saw that stat. That's just cruel and unusual right there. So,
win more games.
Anyway, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. Again, it's been a blast doing it with you guys all year long. Andrew, it's been fun doing with you. I enjoy spending my Friday mornings with you. It's always always fun to chat and see you and kind of talk football. Thanks everyone for listening. If you could please rate or review the podcast, if you've enjoyed listening to us all year, please do that. You want to follow Andrew on Twitter? He's at RotoWire Andrew. You want to hear all his fantastic Tom Brady stuff during the Super Bowl? I'm sure he will be praising him over and over during the game.
Of course.
You want to follow me on Twitter? I'll be at Scott Jensen. I'll probably probably be talking with the Warriors or something during the game, so maybe you don't want to do that. But anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We do really appreciate it. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, please do so. Other than that, I hope everybody has a fantastic offseason, and hopefully if Andrew will have me back, I think we'll be back to talking DFS next year. We look forward to it. So everybody take care.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.